Hi, folks. I'm Jalene Fenner here with my co-host,
Tom Measure.
And we are at the Michigan Seventh-day Adventist Conference camp meeting in Cedar Lake, Michigan. And this is just a wonderful time, Tom, where we can interview many, many people that aren't in Cadillac or in our backyard.
It's kind of like a marathon of recording. But what a blessing. People coming from every direction, speakers from many directions. And our speaker today, we had a chance to interview Pastor John Bradshaw and his wife Melissa, who has a children's ministry. They're both associated with It Is Written, with Pastor Wes Peppers, who does the evangelism and outreach. And we're going to talk to Mr. It Is Written Canada, but you're retired or past president. Welcome to Strong Tower Radio, Pastor Chris.
Hey, thank you so much. Yeah, and I don't know that I retired, but I've definitely returned to the States from the Great White North.
So. That's right. And we are so privileged, Jalene. He is literally in our backyard. He is within our broadcast area, and some of our we've aired some of the It Is Written Canada programs in the past.
Yes,
but. Currently, you're hearing him on Saturday mornings. Occasionally, we rotate it among a number of pastors, but on 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, often you'll hear Pastor Chris. And we have a treasure trove of past recordings in our Fresh Manna, that's audio archives, under Fresh Manna, and you can listen to all of his programs. Pastor Chris, you had a few series recently. Do you mind sharing with our audience what were the themes of some of your series?
Sure. So I know you've been airing my series on the Book of Daniel, which was that came out of, actually I wasn't planning to preach a series on Daniel, but last July of 2024, in the United States, there was a pretty dramatic event that was the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and I was supposed to begin a series on what is the church and who am I as a member and all of this.
Very much internal focus,
yes,
right?
Yes, and then as my wife and I were talking, I was like, I can't ignore this. I've got to, and so I preached a sermon out of Daniel chapter 3, essentially asking the question, if God is so good, why is there evil in the world? And I said, well, I'm going to go back to Daniel chapter 1, and I'm going to go through the whole book of Daniel. And the series title was These Things We Know. And it was a series based on the life of Daniel. And certainly, I touch on the prophecies, I talk about the prophecies, but more than the prophecies was the practical application of who was Daniel? How did he live, living in very uncertain times, and what principles can we learn to apply to our everyday lives as we, today, are living in uncertain times?
Well, that's the topic that we're going to be touching today. We're going to have a word of prayer in a section, but it's, as we talked previous to recording, it's almost like a soap opera. If you miss one episode, you lose all continuity, you come back 3 weeks later, it's basically the same storyline.
Yeah.
And today we're going to be talking about Iran and Iraq. I mean, there's always something churning out there.
Absolutely.
Well, and people know there's something going on in this world, you know? So, Tom, before we get started talking about what's happening and how it affects all of us, would you have a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Our great Heavenly Father, this is a turbulent times, are saying, what is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we have answers, and as we've heard here in this meeting, this week here at the camp meeting, how big is your God? Mm. When we have our eyes on Jesus, the things of earth, whether good or bad, become strangely dim. And Lord, we want you to become bright.
Amen.
And be the fullness of our lives. Lord, help us to lift you up today. And in spite of whatever is going on in this world.
Yes.
And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So it's Pastor Chris Holland. I don't think we said your last name.
That's okay.
And just give us a little background about yourself.
Sure. I'm, you're talking about It Is Written Canada. I'm a U.S. citizen. I'm a Midwest boy. I was actually born in Indiana, in Lafayette, Indiana, while my dad was attending Purdue University. My mom was at Ball State, but then my mom, once she got pregnant with me, she decided that she wasn't going to continue her college years. And so, and from there, and I've told my testimony on a number of different occasions, and that's longer than we have right now. But I grew up in a religious home and was very, very confused about religious things. And
that's an oxymoron. You grew up in a Christian home, and yet you were confused about Christian things.
Yes. Yeah. And so it was, but, you know, in 1995, I had an encounter with Jesus. And, you know, we talk about media and technology and various things. It's so important. That's actually how I learned about Jesus, through a series of meetings in 1995 called Net 95. Mm-hmm. And at that time, you know, and it's hard to imagine, you know, because we're talking, you know, some 30 years ago that this happened. But satellites, that was new technology, yeah. You know, and now these days, you know, it seems like every other day that Elon Musk is launching up a bunch of satellites so we can have internet and cell phone reception and everything else. But at that time, that was really new technology. And they satellited gospel prophetic meetings all around the United States. And it was through that that I encountered a message that led me into the truth of the Bible. And shortly after that, I began to sense a call to ministry. Mm-hmm. And I attended college right here in Michigan, Andrews University. And that
we're one of our newest stations, our station.
Yes, yeah, that's right. I just heard somebody share that that there's a new strong tower signal that's covering all of Berrien County, and what a beautiful place that was. But it was there on the campus of Andrews while I was attending Pioneer Memorial Church, and that I just really began to sense this call to ministry. And so I attended school, graduated from there. Went to pastor in Illinois, not too far from where you have a station.
Two stations in central southern Illinois.
Yeah, so I was pastoring in Bloomington, which is just a little bit north of Decatur. And so, and I grew up most of my life in the Chicago area, even though I was born in Indiana, and then moved out east for a little bit. Went up to the Great White North, and then came back to the east, and then made my way to Michigan, and now I'm here in Battle Creek, Michigan, right at the center of the state, where the two major highways intersect, I-94 and I-69, and so we're enjoying our time in Michigan.
Absolutely. Well, our topic today is what is going on. What we can go in many directions. We can talk about between countries, tensions. We can talk about economics. We can talk about relationships, including family relationships, sure. The polarization of society, or we can talk about politics.
Yeah.
What in the world is going on? It seems like Israel attacked just recently. Iran, they felt it was necessary in their own self-defense. They talk about the big idea, big story, and then there's the day-to-day operations. Yeah. Parse that out for
sure.
Many of our Christian brothers and sisters believe this has a prophetic aspect to it. It's so prophetic that they believe that Israel must survive, it will survive, and
sure.
We've got to help them.
Sure.
So can you parse this whole spectrum of dealing with Islam, Christianity, states, and understandings of even within Christianity that has different interpretations?
Oh, well. 19 minutes. That's going to be a lot to cover, Tom. So, you know, let's talk broad picture right
sure.
now. So I think for many of us, most that are listening, we've not lived in a context of war. Where
we on our soil.
Not on our soil. And so when you watch these pictures, it's a bit surreal that, you know, those are real missiles. They are really exploding.
It's not a creation of Hollywood.
No. And so now in our, you have to be careful out there, because there are a bunch of AI generated things going on right now where you're kind of, you look at it and you're like, okay, that looks a little, that doesn't look quite right. And you're, it's probably because it's not. But getting to the crux of the big issue is you have this conflict, which is interesting, and we could go multiple different ways, but it's interesting that this conflict that exists in the Middle East is a conflict that's actually built on some pretty false premises. And that is, you have...
That's pretty strong statement.
It is. You have the Islamic world, and then you have Israel. And so and if we put that in the context of world religions, it's Judaism and Islam. And Judaism and Islam, we can actually historically source where they were and who their founders were, where they came from. And,
well, that's about the only thing they agree on.
And so you have a conflict that's based on, and when I say a false premise, is when we look at this, you have Isaac, and Isaac has two sons. He has Jacob and Esau. And Esau is the older brother and technically, culturally, the chosen brother. However, the God of the Bible said, yeah, I understand that's your culture, but that's not how this is going to go.
Jacob even set up those rules.
That's right.
And he broke his own rule.
He did.
And but so, there's a reason to that.
There is. And so from Jacob and Esau, you actually have the descendants of Jacob and Esau, the sons of Jacob, coming right down through time, would be modern day Judaism. That is where that religion was, if I could use the word, born. Then the sons of Esau, and let me be very, very careful with this, because to any of our Islamic brothers and sisters that might be listening to Strong Tower Radio, and I'm going to use some words very carefully, it is not that the people of Islam are not blessed, because there is a blessing bestowed on Esau.
Yes.
You had a blessing bestowed upon Jacob, a blessing bestowed upon Esau. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds on this, but here's where I say, and why I say, it's built on false premises. Jacob and Esau most certainly did not like one another. Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and Jacob ran away, and Jacob was had a problem with telling the truth and doing very deceitful things. And then he encountered God. And when he encountered God, God changed his name to Israel, actually made him the chosen patriarch of his people. But here's where we miss the point. Jacob and Esau reunite. Now, the Bible doesn't talk about at length what that reunification looked like.
There was a peace of some sort.
But there was some sort of peace. And so when I say that the conflict is built on a false premise, is that the last we know of Jacob, there was peace. And now we have all this conflict. And so the false premise is that we need to be in conflict with one another. Now, for those of us from the West looking at and watching all this happening, what it reminded me of is in 2004, I did a Reformation tour in England, and we were walking around the streets of London. And to anybody that's been in London, I mean, you don't walk more than five or six steps, and there's placards all over the sides of buildings that will have a record of, on this date, such and such bomb came down, and on this date, such and such bomb came down. Most of our listeners today have not experienced that. But that's what's happening to these people. And so there is great fear that exists. And then that fear has really accelerated in the minds of many here, because there's talk of, well, does Iran have a ballistic missile that could reach the United States? And now, you know, and by the time people are listening to this, there could be a whole bunch of stuff that's happened. Yeah. So I don't want to prognosticate what's going to happen here, because there are right now, just this morning in the news, there's one headline that talks about Donald Trump leading out in peace talks. And the other headline was Donald Trump is mulling whether he's going to bomb Iran. And so we don't know.
Dewey won the election, right? Right. Going back to history, there's two different newspaper reports.
Yes. And so we're not going to guess what's going to happen. But the point of all of this is there's a great deal of fear that exists because another headline was that China flew several airplanes over to Iran. Well, what does that mean? Here's the thing. I have 3 degrees and all of them are in the realm of theology. I can't see the future, but God can see the future. And what's, I think, most important, in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gave the signs of the times, and essentially that chapter, it's been written to help us to not be surprised. Jesus said these things were going to happen. And Matthew 24 begins with, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars and nations rising against nations, but there's a particular verse, and that's verse 12 of Matthew 24, and it says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." And it's very interesting. There's two words there. The word law in the original language is the Greek word nomos. And the word lawlessness is not anti-nomos, which is in place of or against the law. It is a-nomos, which is the absence of the law. And with the absence of the law, it says the love of many will grow cold. And to the audience that has been listening to Strong Tower, that word for love is the word agape. It is, and it's interesting, often we will talk about agape love as God's love toward man. Well, the interesting thing about agape is it's actually used more often to describe love between human beings than it is between God and man. It can be defined by God's love for man, and that is, and I prefer, some people will say God's unconditional love. The word unconditional can be defined in a multitude of ways, so what I prefer is agape is defined by God's love, which is love with no strings attached. Mm. God loves us, fully understanding and sometimes even knowing that we won't love him back. And it's kind of like parents. When a parent has a child, in normal circumstances, that parent is going to love that child and is going to love that child with no strings attached. They're just going to love and love and love. And there are some of us watching from the outside asking the question, why do you love that child? And I don't mean that as any offense to anybody.
Well, that reminds me, as a childhood, my sister in a younger age says, why don't you get rid of that, to his mother. He says, why don't you get rid of that child, as an outsider, of course.
Well, and the interesting thing about that, you're saying that question, but that's actually a question that sometimes I think it's fair to think about. Why is God so patient with us? And in fact, the reason I bring this up in the context of the Iran-Israel conflict and whatever will develop from that, we don't know if this will develop into a full-scale war or if it will develop into peace. And by the way, the Bible addresses both of those because the Bible says, hey, when peace and safety, when they cry peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. And then there's the other piece where the Bible talks about wars and rumors of war. But God predicted there would be this time where there's the absence of the law and the absence of love. And we're living in that time.
No kidding.
I mean, listen, there are entire YouTube channels dedicated. In fact, there's a YouTube channel that exists where groups of teenagers will go out and beat up homeless people. Yeah. And thousands of people watch this and think it's funny. That tells me that there's a real absence of love in our world.
Yes.
And then verse 13 of Matthew 24 says, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." And then are these words, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." God's answer, because God's not caught by surprise. God's not saying, "Oh, look, there's people, an absence of the law, an absence of the love. What am I God?" And God's plan to address that is this gospel. And what's interesting is Matthew, who I believe was inspired, and he was there with Jesus, recording the words of Jesus. So he recorded it very carefully. He didn't say the gospel. He said this gospel. And Matthew was being, I think, very specific with that for a reason. And why is that? Because Matthew wanted his readers to understand there are going to come some people that are preaching a false gospel. Mm-hmm. But this gospel, the gospel that Jesus preached, that's what's going to bring about a resolution to this rise of lawlessness, the rise of lovelessness. And by the way, that's what we're seeing in this conflict. And I'm not blaming Israel or Iran or anybody else involved. But why is all this happening? You know, and kind of in the words of my mom in growing up with my three younger brothers, can't you all just get along? Why can't they get along? Because there's an absence of love for one another. There's an absence of law that governs us. And so God's way of answering that, of addressing that, and his way of addressing that universally around the world is this gospel. And very briefly, and I could spend a lot of time talking about this. We could spend hours and hours. But in Luke chapter 4, Jesus goes back to Nazareth. This is immediately after his baptism, after he's gone out into the wilderness and been tempted.
I mean, he's right. He's been inaugurated. He's just had this close encounter with God. He's had an encounter with Satan one-on-one, and he comes back to Nazareth.
And he comes back to Nazareth, his hometown. Mm-hmm. And what does he do in his hometown? He goes to the synagogue on Sabbath, and he reads from Isaiah 61, and he parenthetically inserts Isaiah 58. And what does he say? It is there where not only do I believe, so this is not just my opinion, but many scholars say, this is where Jesus articulates his mission in the clearest sense. And what does he say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. This is why Strong Tower Radio and other media outlets are so important, because there is proclamation. We have to tell people about the gospel. Mm-hmm. What is the gospel? Literally means the good news of Jesus' victory. But not just that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord. And just to summarize that in a minute or less, there is the proclamation of the gospel. There is the practical application of bringing healing to the brokenhearted, which is every listener that's listening right now has a moral responsibility that they've received the good news to go and share that good news, because there are so many broken people, mm-hmm. so many broken people. And I could talk a lot about that, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Again, we've received this good news. There are people that are captive to addictions,
even addiction to sin.
Yeah, addictions to sin. And there is this opportunity to share that with them and make it practical, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I skipped over recovery of sight to the blind. There are many that have been spiritually blinded. And the reason for that is and I'm trying to think of the words of Gandhi. Don't quote me on this. I'm loosely paraphrasing. But Gandhi said, something to the effect of, I know of your Christ. Mm-hmm. And in essence, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians. Mm-hmm. And so there is this practical application of, am I demonstrating what I'm sharing? But then it is to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, which is in Old Testament language describing the second coming of Jesus. And so what's the resolution in all of this? We need to be at peace with God and know he's going to take care of this. Yes. And no matter how much I worry, no matter what political side I take, no matter all of that stuff, God's the only one that's going to be able to work this out. And how can I be a part of working that out? By doing what God's called me to do.
Well, and I see the biggest thing, this gospel, because so many people, whether they know are a Christian or they have been in a church and they don't believe in God anymore, because the gospel they've heard is not this gospel.
That's right.
Because there's so much truth in the Bible that people don't even see or never heard about.
Yeah. And, you know, and to summarize that, what you've just said, I'll often ask people, what's the first question ever asked in the Bible? The first question asked in the Bible comes in Genesis chapter 3 after Adam and Eve sin, and God asks Adam a question.
Where are you?
Where are you? It was not a question of geography. He knew where Adam was geographically. He was asking a question of where's your heart? And from Genesis to Revelation, it is God asking the question, where are you? And the implication of that, where are you? And comes to what you've just said about this whole idea of a false gospel is God saying, where are you? With the implication of, I want you to be with me. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me and for us to be together. And there are too many that are preaching a gospel that God's out to get us. God's not out to get us. God's doing everything to bring us in close, to put his arms around us. And that's the answer to all of this crisis that's going on. And so while I may not be able to go to Iran or Israel, I can tell you this. I can walk next door to my next door neighbor, knock on their door, and just ask them how they're doing and take recognition of they may not be doing so good. And, you know, there's somebody who once said, there's a whole lot of gospel in a pot of soup.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh. That's right.
It's amazing that we had three or four topics we could have talked about. We talked about Iran and Iraq. We could have talked about economics. We could have talked about relationships. But the answer, same answer
it
for
is.
All the questions.
It is. It's the same answer. And so for the listener that's out there today, you know, for the listener that doesn't know Jesus, I would encourage you to go. And I know you can contact Strong Tower Radio, and there are a multitude of resources that you can find to get to know who Jesus really is. And then beyond that, I would find a church in which the gospel, this gospel, the true gospel is being preached, so you can not only get to know Jesus, but be in a community of individuals who all want to get to know Jesus and demonstrate what it's like for Jesus to live on this earth through the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon his believers and practically applying the love of God to every individual on the earth.
Well, I know, because there's so many people, the devil is busy.
Yes.
And so many people don't understand, well, if God's so good, yeah, why is there this evil?
Yeah.
Or how can there be a God of love that's going to burn people forever?
That's right.
That's because the devil has, you know, destroyed the truth that's in the Bible.
That's right.
And so we want people to learn more about what's in the Bible. And if they have questions, they can contact us. If people have questions, Chris, and would like to contact you, how would they do that?
So the easiest way, it's a very simple email, is the email to the church that I'm pastoring, which is the Battle Creek Tabernacle. The email address is office@bctab.com.
Okay, for the Battle Creek Tabernacle.
That's right.
That's the name of the church.
That is the name of the church.
Yeah, well, this has been too short of a conversation, and we're just so glad that we can have you here. Glad that we hear his sermons on the air, Tom.
Amen. For Strong Tower Radio, Jelaine Fenner, Tom Azure, and Pastor Chris Hollins. Until next time, God bless. Bye now.
Bye, folks.